Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. A little later on, we're going to tell you about the Preparing Your Heart for Christmas calendar. This unique and fun-to-use Bible study tool will help you truly enjoy Christmas this year. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Season of Loss.
Now, life is full of losses. It's sobering when you think about the fact that absolutely nothing around you is permanent. Absolutely nothing around you is permanent. And you will go through seasons of tragedy, seasons of grief, seasons of loss, where you have a disaster that takes away something that's very important to you. You can lose your finances. You can lose your job. Anybody want to give a testimony? You can lose your job. You can lose your health. You can lose your marriage. And one thing that is inevitable with all of us, you'll lose loved ones that you care about who die. You may not be in a season of loss right now, but your time's coming. And so this message today for many of you is preventative. It's to prepare you for the inevitable seasons of life that are going to come. Now, we're going to look at five principles, five keys or steps to how to recover from life's losses when you get in this season. And you're going to hear a story of a woman who lost literally everything in the matter of about an hour or two. But you need to understand some basic things about life before we can even look at these five steps to recovery. You see, it's very obvious that life is unfair. Life is not a fairy tale where they live happily ever after. That just doesn't happen in most people's lives. In fact, the Bible's very honest about it. In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 14, it says this: sometimes something useless happens on earth. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Have any of you ever seen this happen? Of course you have. This is life. And you need to understand two important truths before we even talk about how to recover from the season of loss, because there are recovery steps. The first thing that you need to understand is that we don't always get what we deserve in life. We have this myth in the back of our minds that all the bad things that happen to us occur to us because we're bad. And all the good things that happen to us occur because of our goodness. And neither of those is true. You see, when good things happen to you in life, that's called grace. Grace. When bad things happen to you in life, that's called life. Because we do not live in a perfect world. This is not heaven. Things don't always go as planned. There is not a happy ending to everything. In Luke 13, Jesus is telling the story of referring to two contemporary events of his day, and he said, you know, what about those innocent people up there north who had been butchered while they were worshiping? And then he says, and what about that we read in the paper today about this tower that fell on those people and they all got killed? He said, was it because of sin? He asked this rhetorically. And the answer was a definitive no. No. Not everything that bad happens in your life is your own fault. Now, that doesn't negate that we do sow what we reap, that most of the problems we have in our lives, really, we bring on ourselves. I'm my biggest enemy. I cause most of my problems. But the fact is, sometimes in life, you are going to be an innocent victim. And sometimes in life, you are going to be hurt when you don't deserve it. And sometimes in life, you will have losses that are unexplainable. What do you do with those? Well, we're going to look at that. The other thing I need to tell you, though, before we go any further, is that not everything that happens is God's will. Not at all. We heard about this horrific story of these three young kids, 8 years old and younger, who found this baby and did serious damage to this little infant. And I'm sure that there are some pious people out there who will say, well, it must have been God's will. And there's an old Hebrew term for that. It's called baloney. It's just not true. It's just not true. The Bible says God is not the author of evil. So don't blame God for all the bad things in the world. He's grieving as much as you are. God could stop drive-by shooters. It'd be real easy. All he has to do is take away their freedom to choose, and then they couldn't do it anymore. But to be fair, he'd have to take away your freedom to choose too. You see, God has a will for your life, but you also have a will, and you often, and so do I, choose to go my way instead of his way. And whenever that happens, people inevitably get hurt. God will not force his will on us. For instance, the Bible says, it is God's will that every person come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, develop a personal relationship, be saved, and go to heaven. And obviously, that isn't true. Everybody does not go to heaven. Everybody does not develop a relationship to Christ and follow in his ways. Why? Because God's will is not always done. That's why we're to pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because in heaven it's done perfectly, but on earth it's not. Now, it is not my job here today to explain to you all the tragedies of life, all the disasters, all the losses. In fact, I can't. Some of the things we're just not going to understand until we get to heaven. We're just not going to understand them. But I can give you the hope of five things the Bible says to do in how to handle the losses of life when you lose a job, when you lose your finances, when you lose a loved one, when you lose your health, and all of the many other losses of life. So let's look at them. Number one, the Bible says when you go through the season of loss, the first thing you need, I need to do is, number one, release my grief. I need to release my grief. That's the first step on the road to recovery, because tragedy always produces strong emotions. Loss, anger, fear, depression, worry, sometimes guilt. And these feelings are scary to us, and we don't know what to do with them. When you've just had a major loss, you've been handed a pink slip. We have enormous feelings that bubble up within us. If you don't deal with them now, it will take you far longer to recover. Some of you have never dealt with grief in your life. You're stuffers. You push it down. You pretend it's not there. You play like it doesn't exist. And that's why 30 years later, you're still struggling with emotional stress in your life from losses that occurred in your life 20, 30 years ago involving your parents, involving maybe a former partner or a friend who betrayed you, or some hurt that you've held on to all these years. You see, there's even a myth that says, God wants me to walk around with a smile on my face all the time. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. And they have this idea that I should never be sad, I should never grieve, I should never hurt. God wants me to always go around saying, praise the Lord. And whether it's a parent who gets Alzheimer's or a child who gets cancer or a husband or wife who gets laid off from work, or somebody stabs you in the back, that I should always just walk around with a big smile like, it's no big deal, and I should never grieve over these losses. Jesus taught the exact opposite.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
We'd like to tell you about a spiritual growth tool called the Preparing Your Heart for Christmas Advent Calendar and Devotional Booklet. We are offering this early so you can receive it in time to begin using it on December 1st. The last time we made this available, we received a ton of email and letters sharing about the positive impact of this Bible study resource. We hope you'll get your copy of the Preparing Your Heart for Christmas Advent Calendar and Devotional Booklet today. If you'd like to give copies away for Christmas, you'll find as many as you need at the PastorRick.com store. Perfect for the special people in your life. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope, and we'll send it to you when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get this great study tool, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
You see, there's even a myth that says, God wants me to walk around with a smile on my face all the time. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. And they had this idea that I should never be sad, I should never grieve, I should never hurt. God wants me to always go around saying, praise the Lord. And whether it's a parent who gets Alzheimer's or a child who gets cancer or a husband or wife who gets laid off from work or somebody stabs you in the back, that I should always just walk around with a big smile like, it's no big deal, and I should never grieve over these losses. Jesus taught the exact opposite. In Matthew 5, notice what he says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Would you write next to that, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to grieve. And if you don't cry at a funeral, you might want to say, what's wrong here? Now, we don't, when somebody is a Christian and they die, they go on to heaven, so we don't grieve like the world. We're not grieving for their sake. We're grieving for our own sake. We're going to miss them. We're going to miss them. So what do you do with your feelings? Well, you've got to deal with them. You must release your grief. You don't repress it. That means stuff it down. You don't rehearse it. That means go over and over and over in your mind. You release it. You give it to God. You cry out to God and say, God, I hurt. God, I'm grieving. God, this is a tough one to take. And if you want a good example of this, read through the book of Psalms where many of them, David just spills his guts and says, God, I am in a tough time right now. I am really, really hurting. You cry out to God. Notice what these verses say. Psalm 62:8, pour out your heart to God, for he is our refuge. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Those of you who are going through a loss right now, listen, if you don't release your grief, if you don't just go ahead and pour it out and let it come out, it will eventually, because feelings that are pushed down fester, and eventually they explode in a much worse situation. Release your grief. Number two, when I come through the season of life of loss, I must receive from others. And that's often difficult for many of us to do, to receive from other people. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. New Century Version says, by helping each other with your troubles, you obey the law of Christ. Now again, this goes against our nature, because it is human tendency when we're hurt, when we've had a loss, when we've gone through a difficult time, what we want to do is pull back in. We want to draw into a shell. We want to build a wall around us. We want to pull everything back in and say, I don't want to be around people right now. I'm hurting too much. And that is exactly the opposite of what you need. It's the exact opposite. Because when you're going through a season of loss, you need not only the support of other people, but you also need the perspective of other people. Because when you're in a season of loss, you don't see the whole picture. Your pain narrows your focus, and you need other people who can help you see the big picture. We need each other dramatically in the season of loss. So I release my grief, and then I go ahead and I say, okay, it's time to let other people minister to me. Let them help. Let them comfort. Let them offer suggestions. Let them sit with you. Let them grieve with you. And don't be embarrassed about it. That, by the way, is the reason God, one of the reasons God created the church. We are a family, and we are to care for each other. And that's why, as your pastor, I'm telling you all the time a little preventive advice. And I'm saying, get involved in a small group now, before the crisis. Join the church and get to know some people now. Take one-on-one class and get involved. Get into ministry and get involved so you know some people now, so that those relational bridges will be in place before the inevitable time of loss comes, because it's coming. And I say this to you out of love, out of care and concern for you. Notice what the Bible says. Hebrews 12, look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. He says, look after each other. In other words, to make it through the season of loss, we not only need God's promises, but we need God's people to help us. Number three, when you go through the seasons of loss, you release your grief, you receive from others, and number three, refuse to be bitter. Refuse to be bitter. In Job 21, verse 25, and of course Job, of all people, had a reason to be bitter, says, some people have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Now I want you to notice the contrast here. They live and die with bitter hearts. You're going to have to decide in your life whether you want to be bitter or whether you want to be happy, because you cannot be both. You can't. When bitterness is in your heart, happiness walks out the back door. And until you kick bitterness out, there will be no happiness. But when you invite happiness to come back in the front door, bitterness walks out the back door. They both can't live in the same house. And in every situation, you've got to decide, am I going to be bitter or happy? It's a choice. Am I going to be bitter or better? You see, it is an attitude that you have to choose to be a part of. Now listen, if you don't get anything else I say today, get this. There is absolutely no correlation between your happiness and your circumstances. No correlation between your happiness and your circumstances. I have seen people who were in the most abject, terribly situations of depression, you know, raised in a ghetto, no mom, no dad, abject poverty, racial prejudice, strikes against them, on and on and on, and yet seen those folks maintain an incredibly positive attitude of, I'm going to do something with my life. I'm going to make my life count. And they go on to succeed and to be fulfilled and find meaning and purpose in life. And yet, on the other hand, I have talked with some people who honestly have had almost nothing major ever go wrong in their life, and yet they constantly whine. Okay? I mean, every morning they rise and whine. You want to say, you want a little cheese with your wine? Now, I've been in ministry 25 years, and if you were a whiner, you really don't want to get close to me. Because I have about that much patience for whiners. Because I've seen, for instance, situations where two people in the exact situation face the exact same crisis and problem, and one comes out going, we can make it, with God's help, we'll do it, okay, let's get going. And the other is going, this stinks, it's terrible, life's over. Let me tell you what, you are as happy as you choose to be. You are as happy as you choose to be, because happiness is a choice. And you can learn to be happy in basically any situation. But you've got to refuse to be bitter. I remember a while back I was sitting in my big lazy boy comforter chair, channel surfing. Do you ever do that? And I came up on one channel, and it was a preacher who had cerebral palsy. You could barely understand the guy. His speech was so slurred. And he told about how he had lost his mom and dad at a young age, And because he had cerebral palsy, nobody wanted to adopt him out of the orphanage. And one hurt after another. And yet he was the most positive person I had ever seen in a long time. And I was fascinated by this guy's attitude, his enthusiasm, his joy. It just kind of overflowed. And then I remember him saying, he said, you know, I live by the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not bellyache. I thought, boy, that's a good one. Some of you need to write that one down and put it on your refrigerator door. Thou shalt not bellyache. Listen, most of the world would love to have your problems. Really, seriously, most of the world would love to have your problems. You say, Rick, you don't know my house bill. I know millions of people who'd love to have a house bill. And we're worried about, are my kids going to get C's or B's or A's this year in school? While many people around the world are wondering, are my children going to last another week because we haven't eaten in 10 days? It's like the old phrase, I complained I had no shoes until I met a man who had no legs. It's all a matter of perspective.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you missed any part of today's message, or if you'd like to find out more about this ministry, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Right now, we'd like to tell you about a spiritual growth tool called the Preparing Your Heart for Christmas Advent Calendar. We're offering this early so you can receive it in time to begin using it on December 1st. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, friends, one of the most common questions that you hear this time of the year is, are you ready for Christmas? It's a question that shows how much preparation we think is necessary just to celebrate this holiday and this holy day. We think getting ready for Christmas means putting up decorations and buying and wrapping gifts and sending cards and planning meals and helping with school plays and church musicals and office parties, and the list goes on and on, making sure that we help all the people who are in need. But does doing all that really get us ready for Christmas? Will making it through a checklist prepare me for celebrating the birth of Jesus? We both know the answer is no. And we both know that it's too easy to get so caught up in doing too many things, many of them good things, but so many things that we forget the real reason for the season. I hope this resource will help you really get ready for celebrating the birth of Jesus. And that resource is called Preparing Your Heart for Christmas. It's an Advent calendar, a calendar of preparation with 25 individual doors. And each day on this calendar, you'll open one door to reveal an inspirational word and a Bible verse. And then you just turn to the corresponding page in a companion book that we've put together, and you read through the very short spiritual growth devotional. Now, it only takes a couple minutes to read the Bible verse and the devotional, but it's going to prepare your heart for the coming of Christ at Christmas. My hope is that this resource, this Advent calendar, Preparing Your Heart for Christmas, will help you spend the holiday expressing your gratitude to God, worshiping instead of worrying, and taking things off your schedule so you can appreciate the true meaning of Christmas. I don't want you to miss the miracle of Jesus this Christmas.
We offered this very special premium last year and received a ton of email and letters sharing about the positive impact of this Bible study tool. We hope you'll get your copy of the Preparing Your Heart for Christmas Advent Calendar today. And if you'd like to give away copies for Christmas, you'll find as many as you need at the PastorRick.com store. Perfect for the special people in your life. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or just visit PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.